Hey guys, welcome. I'm apologetic. I'm late. Also, this is the third time recording it because the last two times, whenever I started talking, my dog started barking. So, welcome. We are revisiting Keanu Reeves's classic Johnny Mnemonic because I guess none of us can get enough Keanu. Anyway, thanks for listening, subscribing. Join the Patreon, patreon.com/myopia, where you get extra movies every month. And, you know, keep rating and reviewing us. We appreciate it. Thanks.
Welcome to Myopia Movies. This week, we watched Keanu's Spark a Reel to give him the Matrix, I guess. I'm Nick Hoffman, host of Myopia. Over on Center Prominent panel, we have
Jeremy,
Nor Jeanette,
Charlie Rose.
Yeah, guys, we're back to a cyber thriller, a 90s genre which rightfully died with Y2K, I guess.
This is the 90s?
95? Yep. 95. Huh. I mean, right before the Atlanta Olympics, people were clamoring for Keanu Reeves techno thrillers. Is Speed 96? 94.
94.
So he went from Speed to this.
Yeah.
Robert Longo must have, like, him and Yom Devon are just like, I have the actor.
Well, would you rather have seen him in this or Speed 2?
Oh, this. Any day of the week. Speed 2 is awful. Speed 2 is just a train. And the fact that Sandy came back.
This movie is not any of those things?
Yeah, but this is so weird.
Yeah.
And there's not, like, a Lolita scene where Robert Patrick is signing with a, like, 12-year-old girl. And, like, That is a bizarre movie. Previous episode, too. Anyway, so this is Johnny Mnemonic from 1995, where Keanu is a computer hard drive. 300
with a massive 320 gigabytes.
Yeah.
People are bootlegging torrents.
In my house, I currently have a portable 5 terabyte drive that I can fit in my hand.
Yes. Terabyte. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, I, the stuff I do editing on is like a 3 terabyte hard drive that I got for $50. So this is set up in the far off year of 2021.
January 2021.
So we already survived.
Because we know nothing terrible happened in January 2021.
Right. I do love in the back of my head, like, we're just living out our normal lives, but Newark is apparently just on fire.
Basically.
I went to the Whole Foods and just, like, cut to someone screaming. And a car landing on them, because that's apparently the number one way to die in Newark, New Jersey in 2021. But yeah, so who wants to give us the plot? I saw you took notes there.
I did take notes, but I'll be honest with you. You know what? I'm going to give it a try.
Do it.
It's fucking 2021 in this fictional cinematic universe.
It's barely even fictional. I mean,
I felt a lot of I felt a lot of similarities to currently what we got going on.
Mm-hmm.
We first start seeing our title character Johnny Mnemonic, or due to my dyslexia when I first read the movie, Johnny Nymphomaniac.
Yep.
Which kind of sets up the scene because he's laying in bed with a girl, you know. But I just want to start with the similarities to 2021. It's in China. Everyone's wearing masks except the white guy.
Yeah.
He starts
the
off.
The mall is literally empty and
the
burning.
The mall is empty. This guy rolls out of bed, and the first thing he does is checks his messages, which I did this morning.
Of course.
So
corporations are in charge.
Corporations are in charge.
And there's an epidemic sweeping the world.
There we go. Called NOS.
Nas, which apparently is spread through microchips hidden in vaccines by Bill Gates. So
right. So 2021, I was just like, well, shit, Hollywood wrote the story of the pandemic. But we first start off seeing him trying to download some things, and then the Yakuza is somehow involved in it. And yet, only halfway through this movie do we really understand what the fuck was going on in his mind. He has some type of software in his head, so he's a hard drive, and what he has to do is plug in some AirPods, which is also 2021 reference as well. And yet we find out later, it's not even halfway through when we figure out what the fuck the shit that was downloaded into his head for.
Right.
Everyone has some type of black plague disease or COVID, as we turn out to our universe. And I guess this is due to the radiation from all the machines and technology that's been, distributed out. Let's see, am I missing
anything? No, it turns out it's not well explained.
It's not well explained.
Turns out almost all of this is not well explained.
No, they have Zoom back in the day, you know, for 95. I think this movie does a good job of just depicting what 2021 actually would be. Ice-T's in it.
Yep.
Woods Reds. They call him J-Bone.
J-Bone.
And I don't want to give it away what was the plot twist to the end, which is like we'll the savior. Yeah. Dolph Lundgren is there. And then
As Jesus.
Robo-assassin Jesus.
I don't want to give away spoilers because I want to talk about this movie. I don't want to dissect this movie through.
Yeah, we should. Okay, so, I don't know where you want to start on this, but we should talk on, I guess, with Keanu. Johnny, he is a mnemonic. We don't know what that means, really, other than he uses a battery pack the size of a brick to double his brain capacity.
A hard drive. It's a hard drive.
It's literally, you have 80 gigs, now you have 160, and it warns us 6 times, if you have too much, it will cause spillage or slippage or whatever nonsense.
That's what my iPhone does when I need more
storage. So they decide, to put 320 gigs in there.
And not tell him in advance.
Yep.
God help me. And while they're like, he puts on what looks like a modern VR helmet of all things.
Oracle.
Yeah. and while they're doing this, the Yakuza's coming upstairs. We don't know why yet, but they're all, like, this is a scene out of, not yet made movie, The Matrix. Like, literally, there's sci-fi nonsense happening, people are jacking in or whatever, and then coming up the elevator is a bunch of people wearing leather jackets and machine guns. And, like, these are cartoony god-killer machine guns because it's the future. Can you imagine 25 years into the future?
Well, they were all paintball guns.
They were. Oh, let's not forget about the cocaine... sniffer slash laser.
The laser lasso coming out of his coke nail. My goodness gracious. There's a lot going on in this movie. That was 7 things too many in that single sentence.
Basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to admit, it was probably the coolest thing about the movie.
I was about to say, that's probably the dopest. Out of what they could depict about the future, even though that's not really real, that was pretty dope.
It actually was futuristic.
You heard they were talking about the iPhone. You caught that noise.
I said, they did at iPhone while they were surfing the web.
Well, apparently, what it was supposed to be, according to IMDb, is an iPhone EYE phone. And he used it as a visual interface.
I bet AT&T was pissed when Apple took that. Because AT&T is like
the all over this movie.
All over this movie. Yeah.
I love how this is like apparently people's secret favorite movie. Like the Wachowskis,
really?
Steve Jobs. No, of course not. But
I mean, come on, you know Elon Musk has to love this movie.
Elon Musk has people with computer hard drives in their brains to transfer around information. He doesn't trust email anymore.
That's why he has Tesla, these cars, these human brains in each car.
He interfaces, he plugs his head into his car and just kind of hovers around.
Basically. Well, this is a William Gibson's short story.
Yes.
Very cool. And it's very clearly a William Gibson short story.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing. I have in my notes 5 different times what the fuck is going on. I got lost.
Master storyteller William Gibson. What movie does this well? I guess Minority Report. But Philip K. Dick, like, whenever you try to adapt one of these things into... William Gibson is also the one credited with coining the phrase internet, right?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Cyberspace.
Yeah. There you go. I do like how internet gets a chyron, because this movie must make no sense in, like, the original print. Because, like, there's so many things that go back in. Like, we get a scroll at the beginning. I mean, that wasn't there at the beginning. Originally, like, when they flash up the internet and we're flying through the screen, that makes no sense.
Well, no, it's the internet 2021, because it's important to tell what year the internet is existing in that scene.
See, Mom, it'll be super sweet one day.
This is Lumber Man quality graphics.
This is came out the same year that Toy Story did. They could have done anything.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, but like also, you know how AOL keywords are a thing? In 25 years, this is going to be the internet.
I can see it.
Well, at least for the people that got kicked out of Parler.
All right, so this kind of opening scene with the iPhone and all that stuff where he's downloading the information into his brain. He's gritting his teeth. They're playing anime in the background. It looks like every good time at Home Park on Saturday. And then all of a sudden the doors get kicked down right as the information gets uploaded. And we learn that not only is this twice the maximum amount of data he's supposed to carry, which, by the way, that's not how hard drives work. You eventually just run out of room and just starts oozing out his ear or whatever.
Or just when you try, it'll say, this does not have enough information. And then the movie ends.
Well, here's the thing. You know, Nora, you bring this up really well. They do not give you enough. A good movie with good pacing, they give you enough of the story so you sort of have an idea of what's happening as it moves through the story it's telling.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. This movie does not do a good job of that at all.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't.
I don't even know what the fuck that lady was that appeared. You know what I'm talking about? The one that looked like the
cyberspace lady?
Yeah.
Well, and the other side of this, too, is you got to decide if you're going to get into the nitty-gritty or not.
Exactly.
Like, Minority Report, that's kind of the part of it. Like, the movie just goes. And if you're paying attention to it, fine. Otherwise, it's just an action movie. This, they have to stop and explain everything. And they Henry do. Rollins is a dick for no reason. And, like, he's explaining what Dr. Allcum means. And then just shit goes down. And, like, this movie has seven too many things happening.
Yeah.
And it's only 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, it was 90 minutes?
Yeah, but
yeah, they crammed so fucking much in there.
That felt like longer.
And Hoffman, he made a comment, and also a character, Ice-T, known as J-Bo, was somehow needed to narrate the movie at the end because nothing fucking made sense.
Well, I will say
he doubled himself. He's looping.
It's okay. He doubled himself. It's looping, and then he goes, "Don't worry, he killed the double." And you're just like,
"What killed the double?"
And also, that was clearly added later. That was clearly someone like, "What just happened?" He goes, "Don't worry, Ice will come in and he'll explain everything."
Well, I believe that probably what happened is they screened the damn thing, and no one knew what was going on.
Yeah,
and they're like, "Okay, what do we gotta do to fix this?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, well, we're gonna have Ice, like, you know, totally like narrate it so people know."
But that's kind of what he does in like SVU too. They're like, "This man's a pedophile. That means he has sex with kids." And you're just like, "Thanks, Ice. Thanks for explaining stuff to me. Thanks."
Yeah.
But
well, let's talk about the female protagonist.
Jane.
Well. Jane.
Yeah.
What's wrong with her?
She has, what is it?
The creeping blackness. Attenuation syndrome, which is NAS.
And it's called like the black something.
The black shakes.
The black shakes. And she at one point shows the underside of her arm, and like the Matrix, there are these little black holes appearing in her that look like computer points. Yeah,
this movie predicted Cyberpunk 2077.
Huh.
Oh.
It's a good parallel to
LimeWire. Dude. Again, this is a bunch of secret people's favorite movie.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, clearly Robert Longo or whatever had just got off watching Blade Runner, and they're just like, "What if we did that but crappy?" Because I guess that's what a lot of people did, though. Like, again, Demolition Man was 2 years before this. Total Recall, Judge Dredd, like, all these are apocalyptic nonsense movies with weird, crabby guys. Whatever. The Yakuza.
I mean, my head hurts because just like Keanu's, you know, it's overload in my head right now because I wonder with the writers of the movie what they were trying to accomplish and then when did they just like, "Fuck, we're in like in a loop here. We need to figure out how to end this movie," you know?
What if we added Dolph Lundgren? And then the movie picked up again.
No.
And what was, I mean, Who was supposed to be in every movie? There's supposed to be a person that needs to play the audience, right? Who was the movie? Who was that character? Do y'all think who was supposed to be
Jones the Dolphin?
Yes,
that was a spoiler. What I didn't want to say.
You know,
we'll get to Jones.
That's a good point. I think Jane is as much as they can summon.
Right.
You know, she's there to, like, well, get her money, but also be that sympathetic character that reminds everyone that he's carrying a cure to a disease. A disease right. that she portrays firsthand for everyone to see.
Hmm. Well, I could see that.
Well, I mean, and he has to explain what he's doing, like, six times, because that first group of guys who uploads the stuff also has no idea what he's doing. And then when it spits out those three pictures, by the way, you unlock with one of those reCAPTCHA things, where you have to find the right image, and then it unlocks the code.
I'm not a robot. Click.
I feel that.
Choose
every
all
time.
The pictures with a crosswalk.
I still don't understand. So did he know going into that hotel room what he was gonna get uploaded to?
No.
And like Leo the Professional or something, he doesn't want to know. He just wants the job to go on, whatever.
It's a fascinating concept. In the future, you know, corporations run everything. So, of course, information and proprietary data is gold. So these humans come along, they augment their brain so they are secure, like gazillion encrypted, unable to be broken by any means.
Except decapitation.
ways of transporting the data. Okay. And you know, at the end of the day, it's a great concept, but oh my gosh, the execution.
Right. I mean, and again, this movie has seven too many things. And again, it is a neat idea, right? Like because it's all about corporate espionage, and so like how do you hide a lot of information? Well, what if we could hide it inside people and not just stick like a USB plug like up their nose or something. No. They have to actually literally hack their brain and erase his childhood memories, I guess. But they come back magically at the end. That's okay.
No.
Jones had them. Jones was secreting them away in his dolphin brain.
Well, let's talk about, like, Keanu Reeves' acting in this movie.
Like, this is the quintessential movie where you say Keanu Reeves is a bad actor. You look at, you point to this one.
I mean, several times I think either Nick or I was like, whoa. Dude. You know, because he totally was just...
You mean, I'm going to die in 24 hours? Whoa. Like, and that's just it. He sits there, they flash bright lights right in his face, and then he grits his teeth for 20 minutes. Like, it's so... I don't know why you got Keanu Reeves for this. I would assume it was because he was in an action movie, but he doesn't do that much action in this movie. Like... right? He just looks, like, mildly out of breath.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I did like his monologue when he was just fed up about things, you know? He's
like, he's an angry white man.
You guys like, I want room service, I want this, I want
$10,000 a night. Okay.
I'm like, damn.
I mean, you can calm down, Keanu.
Something that wasn't just because of the genre of music I listened to, Henry Rollins.
From Black Flag.
Yeah.
But you look at that man and you're like, I need to put him in your movie. He just has a gripping face and the craziest chin I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, completely.
But yeah, for some reason, every now and again, he'll appear in movies. Is he like a friend of David Mamet or something? It just seems like the kind of thing. But yeah, so... where do you want to go from here? Like, the movie itself is just... It's not even a chase, because the whole idea is he was going to go from one person to the next. He has a buddy named Ralphie, which no grown man should ever be called Ralphie.
Right.
Played by Udo Kier. And then turns out that he's crooked about halfway through the movie. Mm. And so now we have no idea. Like, because then the movie just runs out of steam. He has to find someone to get the stuff out of his brain or he dies.
True.
Who knows? What you need is almost like someone else who they try this with who dies because they don't have enough space in their head.
Yeah.
Something. And just show me. I want to see someone's head explode like scanners and then we're good. But like, we get nothing.
Well... The one thing I do like about this movie is the underground people from J-Rock, you know, ones that they use crossbows just to kill people, you know, low tech. I do think that was a good addition. As you mentioned, Nick, it reminds you of the Lost Boys, the makeup and stuff. That's the one aspect of the movie I did like because
I guess you have to find someone to go against the Yakuza, in a sense, you know? But the one thing also I did like about this movie is the dropping of flaming cars, no matter what. No matter what.
Well, flaming Volkswagen bugs, I believe.
Specifically.
Specifically.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, and, well, I mean, the rest of this is just them trying to get the stuff out of his head, right? So when he arrives and, like, there's nearly some dark, like, emergency take-his-brain-out surgery, that at which point Jane comes back in after crawling through the ducts like she's Tiny Die Hard and saving the day, right? Mm-hmm. But all of this is just nonsense. Like, Udo Kier, who is playing Ralphie, has two people around him, one named Yomama.
And David Bowie.
And with the craziest Bowie makeup you've ever did see. And then she just kills them. She kills everyone in that room. And Keanu gets away, and then, of course, we get Fingernail Guy.
Yes.
Who I believe is Dennis Akiyama, who plays Sinji. I'm just looking, guys. None of these characters are characterized. Like, no. Other than Johnny, Dina Meyer, who plays Jane, kind of, like...
Yep. Yeah.
But halfway through, she gets the DT shakes, and we, like, kind of lose her, and, like, her and Johnny are, like, both sort of dying.
So that's how they bonded and made out.
I guess.
Yeah.
You're dying? Oh, my God, I'm dying, too.
Let's do this.
Well, you know, what I didn't love is that they aren't very forthcoming with what's driving the plot. Okay. Yeah. At first, you're like, who are these people? Why are they chasing him down? Okay, well, he's got this data in his head. Okay, he's got this cure in his head. Why are they chasing him down? Well, it turns out, apparently, a pharmaceutical company solved this problem, cured this disease, like, almost a year ago.
Right.
But they decided that it would be more profitable to treat the disease rather than cure the disease.
Well, this is QAnon's favorite movie too, isn't it?
Oh, very much so.
God, they even say that there's something going on called InfoWars.
Yes. Yep. Yes. There's apparently InfoWars that are going on, you know.
So this movie says, if that was January, that in sometime in April of 2020, a crazy virus that could have been prevented starts spreading and killing almost 50% of the population.
Yep.
Infects almost 50% of the population. William Gibson, you've done it again. Bill Gibson, good on you, Billy.
Well, let me ask you all this, the round table. Jeremy, Nick, Charlie, what was the biggest fuck you moment to this movie for y'all?
Fuck you what?
Like, just saying,
fuck,
like...
Fuck you, pay me?
No, like, fuck you, I'm going to turn off this movie because I can't take it anymore.
It's got to be Jones.
Mike,
no, the second Jones shows up, the movie.
I'm like,
it.
What?
The dolphin.
Okay. Fuck.
The dolphin.
Yes. Yes.
I want to talk about the dolphin.
Let's talk about that dolphin.
Let's talk about the dolphin.
Okay.
What the fuck?
So introduce us to Jones. What happens? How does this come out?
All right. So I guess after they go and meet the Lost Boys, they're like, "Hey, man, we gotta get this shit out of you, and then you gotta meet Jones." I'm doing my best Ice-T impression.
We're gonna loop it through Jones.
We're gonna loop it through Jones.
And
Jones,
whatever that means. And Jones seems to be
a master cracker.
I don't think I can say that.
Crackhead. Yeah.
Crackhead. I thought you said the other C word. he turns. She. T. Or I can't.
She's
sorry.
A hacker.
I don't want to associate it. A master hacker that's hooked up like one of those chicks from the Minority Report.
It looks like one of the sharks with lasers on its head from Austin Powers.
There we go.
This is a bad puppet.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
This is a bad puppet.
And so, I mean, how would you relate Jones to the real world? Like,
this is nothing. Like, yeah, this is utter nonsense. Mm-hmm. This was like...
Maybe the octopus that can predict the sports.
Well, remember. Okay, well, maybe you don't remember, but during the 80s and the 90s, you know, they kept talking about how dolphins were like these smart, intelligent, beautiful creatures, and there's all sorts of drama because apparently at this time, dolphins were being caught up in tuna nets, and won't anyone protect the freaking dolphins?
I mean, it's also like Demolition Man previous, or upcoming episode. We've done Demolition Man. where it's just like you're eating rats because the world is destroyed, right? It's like a comeback of that 70s dystopian techno nonsense.
Exactly.
This time with the internet, though. Because Soylent Green did not have the internet. We really get this here, right? It's kind of an environmental message, but it's definitely not.
Yeah.
It's like, at that point, you might as well just have, like, the chimp from Lawnmower Man plugged into the mainframe. It's really bizarre. And they come down the cage, and I'm like, is that a dolphin in a tank? And J-Bone goes to Johnny. Here's Jones, and he's like, where's Jones? And they say, in the tank, and Keanu goes, it's a fish, and Jane goes, it's a mammal.
True.
Scene! Nailed it. Move on. Like, what the hell?
There was lots of what the hell, but I have to admit, Jones did delight me a little bit. But let's talk about the best part of the movie.
Okay.
Well, I'm curious what you want to say about this.
Robo Assassin's Jesus.
There we go. Yes.
Okay. Street Preacher or whatever his name is.
Street Preacher.
Street Preacher.
It's Jesus time.
Dude.
I can't believe he actually said those words. Jesus time.
Jesus
time.
He watched VeggieTales all
the come to Jesus.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, come to Jesus.
He has crucifying nails or something that he pins Jane to... a truck thing.
Because,
like,
you know, if you're an assassin, that's what you're going to carry, is these metal nails to crucify people.
Well, hold on, let's talk about his weapon of choice.
Oh, yes, yes. The crucifix that was actually a dagger.
Dude, and it is a Rambo, like, 5-inch blade. Like, this thing is huge. And it is, like...
I mean, it's a type of thing that you would have found, left in the Capitol in early January 2021.
Yep.
Because... some yahoo decided that Jesus was the best way to kill people.
He comes out of this so hot that it's like an unlockable character in Mortal Kombat. Like, it is, like, no, in Clay Fighter 63 and a third. Like, it is just, he is a cartoon from beginning to end. Like,
and he just plays it hardcore.
Yes.
And I thought, like, it was going to be, like, he is just a priest assassin type. Because he has, like, a cassock on when we first see him.
Yeah.
And then eventually, he's wearing, like, a sash like it's Easter Sunday.
Yeah, like a Jesus toga on Easter Sunday.
This is so much. And it's Dolph Lundgren, so his grasp of an American accent is nothing. He's just wibble-wobbling around with this voice he's doing. And doing, like, the arms out thing. It is so much.
And I don't know who made this comment. This was the last movie he did until The Expendables, which
that's
is...
That's what, like, I said. Yeah, that's his IMDb trivia. I guess he was back teaching somewhere. I don't know, but he took... I mean, if this was the movie you did, I would also take a 20-year or 15-year sabbatical. I would do anything else.
I wonder if he felt like he was being, like, you know... I feel like, I don't know, maybe one of his charges excommunicated from this or something like that. I don't know.
Someone saw this and he was like, oh no. Dolphin Lundgren, you gotta stop.
And, I mean, let's talk about, I mean, who ends up killing him is Jones, you know, in the most.
You guys, this movie is stupid. You are not prepared for a dolphin that microwaves people to death with a satellite dish.
Mm-hmm.
Using a thing that pops out of his head. I don't know what this is, but, like, they cut to the dolphin's head, and a little thing goes up, boop, and then it communicates with the satellites? Okay.
All right,
William Gibson.
That's why you don't put your laptop on your balls.
That's right. Yeah. Although apparently, I mean, this would be a thing, like, William Gibson hated this movie because in his book, it was a dog. Or something like that. It just screams, like, there was something stupid here. This is a placeholder nonsense. But yeah, I mean, throughout the whole thing, I mean, I guess we can talk about Spider. When they first are wounded, right, we're introduced to Henry Rollins kind of twice. We're introduced to him at the very beginning. He's in that club scene where we introduce Jane, but then he kind of gets out. But when she starts glitching, and this is very much computer glitching, right? They're like, get me to Spider, get me to Spider. We get to Henry Rollins. Henry Rollins hooks everyone up into computers because he's convinced computers cause
No idea.
The plague.
Yes.
So he surrounded himself with the thing that gets him sick. Like, this would be like going to the respiratory unit at an old
folks' home. But as he mentions, his shit's clean, so.
Yeah. I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is. But again, it was turned out that this was solved 8 months ago, just no one bothered to tell anyone. So they put Jade on the table and strip her naked for no reason. I mean,
yeah,
you could argue there's a reason, but it's not important to the plot. They hook her up to a bunch of brain things, and then they plug Keanu into something that just flashes him with bright lights for 20 minutes and smokes. And it says, holy shit, there's something wrong with your brain. Which we as the audience have been told 7 times already.
But then we find out the significance of Jones. Jones was going to be the person, or one of the people, that was supposed to originally receive this data.
Right.
Like, he was supposed to go and find Jones, or his little cohort of
his merry men.
Doctors doing good deeds?
I must have missed that.
Underground doctors doing good deeds?
Yeah, this is some serious, like plague nonsense, but it's...
Yeah.
They're in an abandoned mall, it looks like.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And there's just corpses everywhere.
Well, and it's this underground hospital, you know, indigent hospital, where they're treating all these NAS patients. And they're all, like, volunteer doctors or something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's where he reveals that this group is the one that was supposed to get the data. Because it was Dr. Yeah. Alcom... But Dr. Alcom was all of them together.
Okay.
Sorry.
Don't worry. You do not need to apologize for being confused.
The only line that made sense to me is what the fuck is going on. And that was my note. That was Kiana's note. Even he didn't know what was happening.
No idea. He just wanders through this movie completely baffled. I just need to get this out of my head.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you asked me what my get-the-fuck-out moment was. He's in an elevator in the first scene, and he plugs a hard drive into his head and says, you have 80 gigs of memory. Now you have 160. I was like, what are we talking about?
Don't you remember from, like, 20 years ago all those decompression softwares?
I do. But you realize that that's the basis of your entire movie is ZipDisk, right? His little iOmega floppy in the back of his head, and he got upgrades to a jazz drive. That's for people exactly my age and maybe 10 years older. That's it, right? Like, we're just talking about... Oh, God. And it's funny now, because now I can live with, like, a 10 gigs computer or a phone, because everything is streaming. You don't actually need the space. But, like, I remember that...
Gigs?
No, I have, like, an 80 gig.
I was going to say.
Like, I do remember, like, that's what the thing with, like, iPods, where you get, like, the 32, and then the 64, and then the 128, like, yada, yada, yada. But, like, the idea that you would need, like, you could run out of room now is just baffling. Just, what a stupid plot point.
Oh, technology.
Well, but what's even dumber is you introduce that so you have a ticking clock. But we have no idea what time it is. Right? Like, the whole fear is that he has only 24 hours. Why doesn't he, like, go into hiding for 3 weeks? Oh, no. If it leaks, he's gonna die. But then you actually need something that's counting down so that there's tension. There's no tension. At 2 different points, he falls asleep.
And he gets mad at him, too. I remember that.
I guess, this movie does take all place in one night, doesn't it?
It's supposed to.
Yeah.
The sun. We never see the sun, at least.
Unless it's always dark in New Jersey.
Someone saw a David Fincher film. They're like, I guess we never need sunlight. But yeah, so that's kind of the movement of the movie. What do you got, Charlie? You look like you had something to add.
Look, I will say this. You know, I'm thinking back. I actually did see it. I saw it in theaters. It was...
There you go.
It was... Well, you know, I have to say... I remember it being a lot better, and here's why. One, it was looking forward, and we were, and instead of us looking back. Okay, so
sure.
Their predictions about technology and their portrayals of technology. Well, you know what? In the 90s, that made sense. That made sense to 20-year-old me.
Right.
Okay. And the whole idea of gigabytes. I mean, that was like insane.
Right.
No one really thought about gigabytes. In fact, it was a word that wasn't even used. It was sort of like a casually talk about, oh, well, would you like my 300 petabyte drive or a yottabyte drive?
Well, take him back to 1995. What was your expectations like? I mean, I was like three.
No, well, I mean, remember this?
Like, what was it back then? I mean, like
this was cutting. Okay, so 1995. I mean, the early mid 90s, the internet's starting to become a thing.
Right.
Okay, I would say 25% of America had access to the internet in a meaningful fashion, and we're not talking about like boring like America Online or oh gosh, what would be other
CompuServe.
I mean, it was dark times indeed. Huh. If people did have some form of the internet, it was probably something like Juno, where you would have a dial-up mail access, but not the actual internet.
I'm learning so much.
Oh, the 90s were a dark time for many reasons, but technology.
AOL dial-up was my introduction to the internet.
Yeah, you know? But this was still... So they just went nuts and they said, this is what the internet is, and this is what technology is, and this is the trajectory we're on. And it was fascinating. And so all this nonsense that they're bringing out every 5 seconds, the intricate details that we're losing right now, you know, we just sort of hung on and accepted.
Yeah.
I love this movie. Watching it again, and this is the first time I have seen this since 1995. Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, it's absolutely terrible.
Do you think if the world went in a different way, meaning like if information didn't rule, meaning, the hate groups didn't emerge, we didn't come through this pandemic, you would think you would have felt a different way watching it?
No. I mean, there's a common theme with cyberpunk, with all these dystopian technological futures. It's that corporations run the world. And in a way, we're on that trajectory, my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay? And so we aren't there yet, but I can see in another 40 years that world might look a lot similar to what we have right now, what we have, or what we will have.
Right.
What about you, Jeremy? How are you feeling about this?
Yeah, I just gave up on this movie after a while. But
yeah, no, I mean, I think it was very prescient, and like I'd say we already are at the point where the corporations run the world.
Yeah, these movies in general tend to be very libertarian in that, like, you know, they're being controlled by, you're being controlled by everyone, and your whole thing is to be independent and to break free, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And, like, that does not necessarily mean left or right leaning. It's just that that's the nature of these things, right? Like, yeah. And The Matrix is the same way, and The Net is the same way, and Hackers is the same way. Like,
information wants to be free.
Information wants to be free, and, like, the fact that essentially the first line we get is that it's 2021 and the whole world has a gigantic internet and people are getting sick with technology, and you realize that the most boomeriest boomer ever wrote this. Because like there's also like the other thing, the cui bono, like that who benefits? No one. Like we don't see anyone benefiting from this technology in any way. Like at least Ready Player One, that movie's a train wreck, but there's at least something like, oh, they enjoy playing the game. Well, there's nothing to like about this world, right? What have we gotten out of technology? Nothing? Vaguely cool-looking internet scenes?
Well, they hint at it. I think that's actually an interesting point, is that, you know, Keanu, Johnny, goes on this rant, you know, that we were talking about all the good things in the world that he deserves to have.
Right.
And you sort of see that there is an upper crust that gets to enjoy this, but you don't know much about it. And I think that if they had explored that a little bit further, that might have
made the movie better.
Well, I mean, and that's the difference between William Gibson and like Philip K. Dick or something. Because like I mentioned Minority Report earlier, they have no crime, but it's going too far, right? So what did they trade? Well, they do now have no crime. That's the goal. But it's like, or Arthur C. Clarke, like when you have these rules, they're meant to be pushed.
Yeah.
I don't know what the rules of this world are and why anyone would do this.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, those stories are all about straight up. Here's the downside of technology when you try to make the world perfect. Okay.
Right.
That's what those movies do. This movie is just the world's crap.
Right.
I mean, it's just consequences.
They're not wrong.
But, yeah.
Well, and again, the threat is supposed to be the spreading virus of NAS or NAS or whatever they keep calling it.
COVID.
Yeah. Okay, so the problem is COVID. But, like, you don't really... to me, obviously you feel it, but I want, there to have been an apocalyptic event, that's why there's stuff out of control.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, sense, yeah. I know that we've been under quarantine for effectively a year, and it sucked for a lot of people, but everything is still modern. So, that's what always works about those Fallout games, right? There's been a nuclear bomb. That's why things are shit, and we're trying to rebuild, right? There's a bridge that people live under that's apparently been collapsed for years.
Why?
I do agree. If there was more of a backstory before all this, instead of like the Star Wars themed text sequence, I think that would have been better for me. You know, at least like it's like the from Terminator T2. Judgment Day, to have that flashback sequence or flash forward sequence just to see like what the fuck happened, if this could happen, you know what I mean? I needed some context to what was happening, and I think honestly that's why I was so lost in all the movie, because I did not know what the fuck was happening until fucking Jones came out, the dolphin, and Ice-T had to narrate it for me.
Well, because the benefit to Jones is your brain completely stops and reboots. And so whatever nonsense has happened before goes away, because now this is a Jones movie about a dolphin who's going to hack someone's brain.
I mean, really, yes, you're absolutely right, because at the end there, no matter what else happens, all you're thinking about is that dolphin hacking his brain and sending the cure out to the rest of the world.
I realize this is dumb, but what's the better Ice-T pairing with a stupid animal? Is it this, or the year before when he's in Tank Girl voicing a kangaroo?
Were they kangaroos or dogs?
I don't remember.
It was kangaroos.
Kangaroos.
Okay. Yeah. Well, no, there were also dogs.
There were several talking animals. It's the same year. 1995, the same year. This is some not...
Can you explain this, because obviously I haven't seen this movie.
Tank Girl.
A video... Watch
it.
Yeah, I have a feeling we'll do it on the show.
If I Google Tank Girls, is anything going to pop up besides that movie?
Well, Larry Petty.
Sure, Larry Petty. Well, okay.
And Naomi Watts is in it as well.
Nothing. Well,
should I put my
Google search as there's the porno rule. They probably made a porno rule.
Search for Tank Girl movie.
Tank Girl movie.
Start on IMDb. Yeah. And Malcolm McDowell will come up. And don't worry, he does make the movie sexier. But there's still kangaroos in it.
Malcolm McDowell makes the movie sexier.
I like Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
But, I mean, you want to talk about the part of his career when he was in the fucking toilet. It's this, and I think the same year he's the villain in Star Trek Generations, which is fine, but he's just like, I'm going to chew the scenery, Picard. it is so thin. Okay, so this movie... They plug Keanu Reeves into a dolphin. The dolphin is trying to find the secret passcode in his brain because he's lost the pictures.
And they loop it through the dolphin.
Yeah, don't forget the looping.
Don't forget. You got to loop.
And then Dolphin Lundgren comes in and ruins everything. I mean, you should have punched the dolphin.
I want to talk about,
the dolphin versus Dolph?
Dolph versus Dolphin.
Dolph versus Dolphin. I like that.
I mean, but at this scene, he's literally dressed up like a Batman villain. Like, with his hair all poofed out and the beard and the red sash and the crucifixion nails. Like, he is a Batman villain from, like, the Frank Miller era that needs to be forgotten.
But that fighting... A robotic cyber dolphin would have been epic.
I'd rather have seen that than the flying cars. The falling cars. I swear to God.
I mean, because like, what's his move? He's fighting the dolphin. He throws one of the nails so hard it punctures the sides of the aquarium, and now there's a ticking clock because the dolphin's gonna run out of water.
I thought the dolphin had like telekinesis or something when he like. I think that would have been a better. Movie, you know, dolphins can read minds and shit like that, you know, that's how I feel, you know, because the dolphins have intuition, they can tell when people are pregnant and they get, you know, stuff like that.
You know what? That might have been the original script and people didn't understand what was happening, and so Ice-T had to come in and he goes, dude, he's hacking his brain. No, he has to hack himself.
Looping it through the dolphin.
He says you have to hack your own brain at one point, and I nearly die.
That's the goal.
That's the goal.
I gotta go.
You got to loop it, and I got to go.
And then he walks out of the movie for a good 15 minutes.
Yeah.
He just comes back at the end.
He had to kill Yakuza with his crossbow.
There is this Pepper Potts looking person with a bazooka blowing it up over and over again, and then he,
and cackling,
the bridge just shoots an arrow through her throat.
Yeah, no, right through her mouth.
It is phenomenal. And again, if this is the movie you're making, do it the whole time. I don't need this mumbo jumbo sci-fi nonsense. You tell me that the man has to. It's better movie. Crank. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's the same idea. He has to keep moving or he's going to die.
Yep.
Okay, let's see that.
Yep.
It's Keanu Reeves. He's a physical guy. Like, he can run, he can shoot. He looks good doing it. That's why you hired him. Don't make him confused in a suit. I know someone saw Hong Kong Action at one point. Now everyone has to be wearing a black suit with a black tie. But make something happen. Those movies have action. Yeah. John Woo's Johnny Mnemonic. I mean, there would have been dubs. There would have been dubs. You look like you had a point before I just went off on a tangent.
And I don't think it's not funny. It's not. It doesn't make any sense, just like this movie. But I will say this. Fucking dolphin. I keep going back to the dolphin. I don't understand what the dolphin is.
The day?
In this technological time, the only thing it can save is a fucking dolphin?
I mean, but like, the day in the production when they were talking about Jones was everyone's favorite day, clearly, because that's the only well-lit scene. It's like,
I think this was the same dolphin they used at Ace Ventura's for the Miami Dolphins.
Oh,
I mean, it's the same dolphin time period.
Yeah, yeah, dolphins got gigs.
I don't think it was a real dolphin most of the time.
Yeah,
because you can't glue that much shit to an animal.
Damn.
Oh, it was Peter Jurassic Park.
Oh god, that's funny. Anyway, but yeah, from here he gets his, like, they kind of do the mind dump thing, and it broadcasts out a bunch of pictures and scrolly text, and now we have a cure for Nas.
How?
That was my question. Like, Ice's line is literally like, program your VCRs or something like that, and I'm just like, so people are gonna rewatch this and it's gonna cure them? Is that the idea?
And then
support the tapes.
The pharmaceutical company blows up.
That is the best part. They cut outside and Pharmaco or PharmTech or whatever it's called is just on fire. I mean, just literally burning. And we have a shot that is exactly the scene at the end of Fight Club where everyone's just kind of staring out of a window together as the world burns.
Speaking of burning, Jesus, not Jesus.
Yes.
Dolph's character obviously gets burned to a crisp by Mike, the dolphin, and there was this nice little hint of a biblical reference where he slowly is about to come up.
He nearly resurrects himself in this movie. Right. We have a skeleton, a charred skeleton, start pushing itself off the floor, and I lost my mind.
And I see, he's like, nah, that's garbage. And just like Cars, they threw him down the bridge, off the bridge.
The Mojus.
But he didn't explode halfway down.
He didn't explode halfway down.
He should have.
He already exploded. He was burned.
Dude, though, if he was about 50 feet from the ground and just burst into flames
that
to be
would
extinguished.
Make sense for me in this movie.
I mean, but he looks like Ryan Reynolds in the middle of Deadpool. Like, he is just a charred chunk of nothing.
I think if he came back to life, that would have been a better ending. And then they had to, like,
Jimmy Mnemonic?
Yeah.
Just, he fights Jesus again as a skeleton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I don't know. This movie.
That could have been a post-credit scene, by the way. Where he...
Were you going to stick around?
No.
Dude.
No, that was the 90s. No one did post-credit scenes. There was no stingers back in the 90s.
I got you.
I don't know who did the soundtrack, though. Like, but at one point, we had the subtitles on because this is all nonsense and I needed the stuff. But Fear Factory's produced song, Scum Grief... Dude, the lyrics are like, man, I've got stuff in my head. Technology. Like, it's just like the plot. It's like they're wrapping the plot of this movie, and I got confused in the first 45 seconds. The Japanese version is 10 minutes longer.
There's a Japanese version?
Huh. What does it include?
What's it called?
It's called this. It's the same movie. It's,
oh, Johnny Mnemonic. Okay.
Yeah. It has additional scenes with Takashi Kitano's character to explain what's happening. Well, no shit.
That would have been fucking needed.
Yeah. Anyway, we can wrap this up. We've talked about this, much more than this movie deserves. Jeremy, final thoughts.
Oh, man, this movie is bonkers. I will say it in a good way, just because it's so flabbergastingly bad that you have to enjoy it. But it's a terrible movie. Yeah. Yeah.
I would say this, and I wrote this down. In the PTSD that I have from this pandemic of 2020, the one joy that we got was when we found out when they were in 2021. NAS is equal to COVID. Corporations, either Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, or Moderna. And where information rules all. Ice-T is the best thing about this movie, and we can top it off with Mike. And, I kept saying Mike Jones because I'm a huge Mike Jones rapper. this movie does get a 12% Rotten Tomato score, and I can see it, but, you know, I will never watch this movie again.
So, revisiting this movie 26 years later, it totally did not live up. Oh, God, no. I mean, I loved it the first time. I remember it was bonkers. I went with a bunch of my friends. We had a blast. We were all nerds. We loved every part of it. We loved it. We thought we were like, you know, a bunch of white 20-year-old guys watching, you know, Ice on the screen going, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I gotta see the trailer to this movie and see how much time Ice T is
playing. Right. But, you know, the bonkers, you know, it just went from crazy to like overload. You've got the dolphin, you've got Henry Rollins. That was another thing that we lost our freaking minds over.
Yeah.
Across the board. Crazy. Loved it back then. Hated it now. It did not age well at all.
Yeah, I mean, at one point he busts into Henry, when he's up with Henry Rollins, he goes, I want to get online. I need a computer. And you're just like, there's not even a script here. Like, I don't... For me, it's kind of a seeing is believing, like Jeremy said. Like, do you feel richer for finding out that the Deus Ex Machina is a dolphin? Now, what I will say, for a crazy movie, it is shockingly slow. Like, because they have to explain so much stuff, there's a lot of dialogue and a lot of exposition. So if you do it like this, this is a movie that you can kind of put on with a group of people and have to pay attention to. Because you'll know when it's getting crazy, because the movie projects like, oh, we're going to get crazy. And then it calms down. Like, there's so many scenes where everyone is just sick and lying around and talking. Ugh. Anyway, we're thankfully stepping away from this cyber thriller thing for now. The next month, we're doing, on the Patreon, Lawnmower Man for Mission Briefing. Because it's Pierce Brosnan, of course. But yeah, so we need to put the cyber thrill away for a bit. We'll let that rest, and then we'll come back maybe with Hackers next time. Or we did Hackers. The Net. Sandy Bullock in The Net. But yeah, thanks guys for listening. Please continue to rate us and review us. Consider that Patreon. We have a lot of good extra episodes there. And thanks.
Myopia Movies is a production of Dude Letter Podcasting. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman, edited by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Suttis. The theme song is Shurf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod. Find his music on comtech.com. It is registered under the Creative 4 license. Our regular panelists are Matthew Quinn, Daniel Suttis, Nick Hoffman, and Jeremy Weigel. Thanks for listening. Please support our Patreon at patreon.com/myopia. Thanks, guys.